We're talking about sharing Jesus in our Jerusalem. That's what this series of lessons that we've been doing has been for a little while, and really what our focus has been on, that we're going to try to keep this focus in sharing Jesus in the Jerusalem that each of us lives in. Before we get to our lesson this morning, though, I want to tell you about two things major coming up here. First of all, this afternoon, 5 o'clock, we're going to be having our first monthly study, evening study over at Chuck Funk's house. He's opened it up to everyone and welcomed everyone to come over, and we're going to be doing a Bible study, kind of a group discussion, and have a worksheet that based on the lesson that we're doing this morning. So we'll have an opportunity to talk about it, kind of like we did when we were doing the small groups a while back. So everybody's invited to come over for that. And so we're going to do Bible study and just have a time of fellowship, even together. So that will be, and we're planning on doing that for the second Sunday of each month is what this also. Today will be the very first one for that. So I just want to remind you of that. Now, you need to mark your calendar for next Sunday, 5 o'clock here in this room. We're going to be showing this movie, The Encounter. If you haven't seen The Shack yet, I want to encourage you to go see The Shack, okay? All right? But you really need to see this movie. All right? I don't know how much, you know, more emphasis I put on it. This is a fantastic movie. A lot of the questions that we have, you know, how many of you have a list of questions that you plan to ask God when you go to see Him in heaven? Okay, yeah, a lot of you, you know, you got your list, like, boy, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God about that, because this just really, let me tell you something, this movie really answers a lot of questions. It's some awesome, powerful ones. So, you know, I really want to encourage you, plan to be here next Sunday afternoon, 5 o'clock. We're going to see this movie, and you don't want to miss this, okay? So, really, really, really great movie. We're talking about sharing Jesus in our Jerusalem, okay? This morning, our focus is on this. Gratitude leads to mission, okay? When we are truly grateful, it causes us to do something with that gratitude. So that's what we're going to talk about. You know, how many of you are familiar with this idea of paying something forward? Okay? That usually what happens is when we have somebody, you know, we realize that gratitude is a really huge motivator. Again, when we are truly grateful from a heart for whatever has happened, whatever blessing we might receive, then usually you want to share that with other people. And that's the idea behind paying it forward, that you receive some kind of a blessing and are grateful for whatever that blessing is. And so you share it with someone else, and then that someone shares it with someone else, and that someone, and those someones, and it becomes many someones, and it just keeps going and going. As you share blessings from your life with other people, they share those blessings, and it just keeps going, and it is paid forward from one person to the next, okay? When someone doesn't have gratitude, basically that ingratitude, when people don't feel the blessing in their heart, they're not really grateful for it, well, that's rooted in selfishness. That's really where it comes from. This inward focus that life is all about me, and whatever blessings I get, I deserve them simply because I'm me. Anybody ever met anybody like that?
Yeah.
Say? Well, you know, I really hate to bust your bubble if you're one of those folks that think the world is all about you, but it's not, okay? I mean, if that's where you've been thinking, then, you know, hey, sad to disappoint you, but life is not all about you, okay? And that's part of what we're going to be talking about this morning. It's not about you. It's about God and His mission and work for us in His world, okay? Gratitude, true gratitude from the heart, opens doors for blessing, but ingratitude shuts those doors for blessing. All right? So we're focusing this morning on this idea of truly being grateful for the blessings that we receive. Those who fail to recognize those blessings will keep those blessings to themselves rather than pay it forward. They'll just keep them to themselves. an inward focus then ends up keeping us from seeing the big picture. Okay? Now, what is the big picture? Well, it says here, click here to see the big picture. The big picture is the mission. And by the way, that mission is not your mission, but it rather is God's mission. Okay? That is the big picture. And when we really focus on being grateful from the heart of the blessings that God gives us, then that motivates us to be focused on God's mission. Okay? And that mission, ultimately, as we're going to see this morning through this study, is sharing what we have in Christ with other people. Sharing Jesus in our Jerusalem. But you see, the problem is that if we're not truly grateful for the salvation that we have, then we won't share it with other people. So we really need to learn that gratitude in our heart so that we will grasp the mission that God has given us in this world that He has put us into. When we're truly grateful for our salvation, then we will share Jesus. Okay? You see, gratitude, basically true gratitude from the heart, changes the way you look at the world. It changes the way you look at other people. It changes the way you see other people and what their needs are. And yes, it's really easy for us to be grateful for the physical blessings that we have and to pass those on to help someone else who may be more needy than we are. They might need some help with food or shelter or clothing. And it's really easy to do those kinds of things. But the most important need that everyone has is salvation in Christ Jesus. Could I get at least one amen on that?
Amen.
You say... And unless and until we are truly grateful in our heart for that salvation that we have received, then we're not really going to be that enthusiastic about sharing that with other people so that they can receive that same blessing. When we take it for granted, we're not going to share Jesus at all. Okay? Someone said, ingratitude is treason to mankind. Think about that. Just let that sink in for just a moment. If our job, our mission that God has given to us is to share Jesus with as many people as we can so that they can in turn share in that salvation, by being ungrateful for the salvation that we've received, then we're basically treasonous. We're not doing what we should be doing for the rest of mankind. However, everything that we do should be as a result of our gratitude for what God has done for us. Right? When we are truly grateful from the heart, that's going to, it cannot help but impact not only how we look at the world, but what we are actually doing in this world that we live in our Jerusalem. Right? So, let's talk about, first of all, in this, in your outline that you have in your bulletin there, blessings for all nations. This whole idea of gratitude, gratitude leads to mission. We need to understand, again, this whole idea of blessings. And why does God bless our lives? Okay? We go back to Abraham. And the covenant that God made with Abraham, the promise that God gave to Abraham, it was a promise not just for Abraham, but for the whole world. All right, now, look at what God says to Abraham, and notice something here, okay? God calls Abraham, and he says, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Now, look at what he says here in this promise. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. Now, doesn't that really sound wonderful that God is going to do all of that for Abraham? Abraham, if you will obey me, if you will pack your stuff and go to the land I'm going to show you, and maybe Abraham might have thought, well, where are we going, Lord? Doesn't matter, just go. And Abraham packed his stuff and he went. With this promise, I'm going to make your name great, I'm going to make you a great nation, I'm going to bless you. Look at what he says next. So that you will be a blessing. Why did God call Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees and tell him to go to a different land, a land that he was going to show him, and give him all of these blessings so that he would be a blessing? Go back to the promise. In thy seed shall, help me out here, all nations of the earth will be blessed. You see, what we need to understand about this promise that God gave to Abraham was that the purpose of that blessing was for everyone, not just for Abraham. In other words, God didn't just bless Abraham just so he could bless Abraham. You ever kind of wonder why God chose Abraham out of all the people that were living at the time? Was it because Abraham was such a great spiritual person? He might have been spiritually minded. He probably was some focus there. But Abraham wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Abraham wasn't sinless. So therefore, Abraham didn't deserve, because of his greatness, the blessings that God gave him. God chose Abraham to bless him, not just to bless Abraham, but to bless all of mankind. You see? It wasn't just because Abraham was a good man, it was because God had a mission to accomplish. And he chose Abraham to be the one through whom that mission was going to work. God gives those blessings so that others can be blessed. And he gives that to you and I today. You see, Jesus didn't only die for you. He died for everyone in your Jerusalem. So share it with other people. We really need to grasp that concept, you see. The blessings don't come just for us. God doesn't bless us just so that we can be happy. Okay? That's not the reason God does that. God blesses us so that we can bless other people. God wants us to take the blessings that He gives to us and to share those or pay them forward to other people so that they in turn can enjoy those blessings. The way that we do that is through true gratitude in our hearts that causes us and motivates us to want to share what God has done for us. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 11 says this. Look at how he starts this out. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous. Okay? Why does God give you the blessings that He gives you? Why does He give you the job that He's given you and the money that He's given you is just so you can give your money to the collection? No. That's part of where it needs to go. Okay? You need to pay back, give back to God what He's blessed you with. But it's also that you can be generous and bless other people's lives. And that's not just with whatever monetary blessings He gives you. It's with all the blessings that God has. God been generous to you in ways other than with money? Yeah. Anybody? God's been generous? Yeah. Some of you, He hasn't been, apparently. I know He's been very generous to me in all kinds of ways. I've got a wonderful, wonderful family. My children, my grandchildren. Wow, what a blessing. My church family. What a blessing. But you know what? God did not just give me this blessing of this church family just so that I could feel great about being a preacher and go, wow, I've got a great, great church that I'm with. He gave that to me as a blessing to share with other people. should say. And he gave it to you in that same way. Okay? So he makes us rich so that we can be generous. In whatever way those riches come, whatever form, whatever shape, his intention isn't just to give us blessings so we can go, wow, look what I got, and hold it for ourselves. He gave us those blessings so that we can share them with other people. So in other words, we need to realize, I'm blessed to bless. Okay? I'm blessed to bless. Or that I am blessed to be a blessing to other people. Okay? So therefore, don't just count your blessings that God has given to you. Rather, share them with those in your Jerusalem. All right? Okay, call to relationship. You realize that, you know, God calls each and every one of his creation to live and to exist in a relationship with him. That's what he wants, is a relationship with his creation. Okay? So he calls us to that. The text, we were talking about this in our Bible study this morning, 1 Peter chapter 2, look at what he says. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Okay? God's special possession, he says. How does that make you feel? It ought to make you feel pretty good, really, when you realize that this is what God is calling you. This is what he thinks about you. Okay? That you are chosen by him. Okay? A royal priesthood. A holy nation. God has called you to be a special possession of his. And you know, as good as that makes us feel, God didn't just do all of that just so we could feel good. Look at what he says next. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. In other words, God has a purpose for calling you into relationship with him. And it's not just so that you can be saved. It's so that you can be saved, and then those you know can be saved. Because what he wants you to do is to declare what God has done in calling you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's what he wants you to declare. So he called you, he chose you to be in relationship with him so that you would share that relationship with other people. It's not just for you. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at what Paul writes to Timothy here. First line there, he says, so do not be ashamed to do what? To testify about our Lord. To tell people. To be a witness of what Jesus has done and is doing in your life. So don't be ashamed to do that. Okay? And don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us, look at this, to a holy life. God chose you and he called you into a holy life, a holy relationship with him. Why did he do that? Well, he certainly didn't do it because of anything that we've done. Okay? Again, just like with Abraham, it's not because we deserved it. It's because he had a mission. Look at what he says here. It's not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose. You see? God has a purpose for calling you into relationship with him. It's not only to save you, but it is to save everyone that you know. For you to take that message of salvation and share it with everyone that you know. So that they can receive that same blessing that you have received from Christ Jesus. All right? The mission then. Two things here. To know him and to make him known. That's what God's mission really is all about. You see? It is to share Jesus, the blessing that God has given to us, Jesus Christ, and the salvation that comes to him. That's what the mission is. To share it. And if you really understand and recognize what a blessing He has been in your life, and you recognize that from the heart, you won't be able to help but to share Him with other people. Jesus told His disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to do what? To go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last." You see, so God calls us into this relationship with Him. And again, not just for ourselves. He chooses us. He chose you to be in that relationship with Him. Why? So that you would go and bear fruit. That you would share the blessing of being in relationship with Him with other people. That's what it's about. You see? That is the mission, to make Him known. Now let's go to Psalm 67, the text that we read as we began this morning. Okay? You can look out on the back of your lesson handout if you want to, but look at this and notice what the psalmist here is saying. Okay? "May God be gracious to us and bless us." Now, who doesn't want that? Anybody in here that doesn't want God to bless them and be gracious to them? I didn't think so. So, you know, we share the same sentiments and thoughts and desires as the psalmist, right? We want God to bless us. And then he says, "and make His face shine on us." So asking God for this kind of blessing, and look at what he says next. "So that your ways may be known on earth." Well, how is that going to happen? How are God's ways going to be known on earth if we don't share with other people the blessings that God has given to us? See, that's what the psalmist is really all about here. Asking God to pour His blessings out on us so that His ways will be known throughout the earth. All right? Continue on. Look at what he says. "May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you." How many people does that leave out? None. Okay, we keep talking about it. Isn't it amazing how we keep coming across that word "all" in the Bible? You say, and when we find that word, it means there's nothing that's excluded from that. Okay? So how many people in the world does God want to be glad and to praise Him? All of them. Okay? He wants all of them to be praising Him. He said, "May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth." Okay? That's the result of receiving, recognizing, and being grateful for the blessings that God has given, that the nations will be glad and sing for joy at the blessings that God has given to us. How are they going to be grateful? By hearing about the blessings that we have received. You see? Again, this is a whole world thing, okay? If you're thinking about, you know, salvation as kind of being just a local thing, all right, then you need to think bigger. Because God thinks bigger than that. God is thinking globally. We all too often just think locally. Now, I know we've been talking about our Jerusalem, but think about it this way. If you're sharing with the people in your Jerusalem, and I'm sharing with the people, how many different Jerusalems do you think we have in this room? Yeah. And you see, it just starts spreading out all over the place, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, but I know some people who live in different parts of this world. Okay? They're in my Jerusalem. And probably, I'm guessing that several of you know people in different parts of the world also, don't you? So, you see, our Jerusalem isn't just, you know, right here in this room. Our Jerusalem, it spreads around the whole world. It's all the nations of the world. That's what God wants from us, is to share those blessings that He's given us with all the nations of the world, okay? Look what he says. "May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you." And then look at this last part of the verse here, the text. "The land yields its harvest." Is that a blessing? Yeah. Sure it is. God blesses us by you know, making the crops grow, okay? "The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still." And here it is again. Look at this last part. "So that all the ends of the earth will fear you." So in other words, again, the reason that God gives us these blessings is so the message about Him will be spread throughout the world, so that everyone will hear about His greatness and His goodness. God doesn't want us to keep those blessings to ourselves. He wants us to share them, to shout them from the mountaintops, if you will, so that the world will hear what God has done and what He is continuing to do. And then finally, let's talk about the manna. Okay? Don't keep the manna. That's an important part of this message. You say, well, what is that all about for us? Well, let's go back to the book of Exodus. The Israelites have left the land of Egypt. They're freed from bondage, and they're on their way to the promised land. And it doesn't take them very long before, even though God has been gracious to them and has freed them from slavery in Egypt, they start grumbling and complaining against God and against Moses. And part of their grumbling at this particular point has to center around them being hungry. And in fact, they say to Moses, as they're complaining against God, they say to Moses, "We had plenty of food back in Egypt. We were better off there." Does that sound like people who were grateful for being freed from the bondage they were in? Not a bit. They were totally ungrateful, and they were thinking about themselves. So they grumble against God, they grumble against Moses, and God decides to bless them. Even in their grumbling, God blesses them. What an awesome God we have. Amen? Amen. You see? He blesses them in their grumbling by sending them manna. Okay? Now, manna is bread from heaven. Okay? And the word manna actually means in Hebrew, what is it? Because it was something they'd never seen before. They didn't know what this was. And that's what they said is, what is it? Okay? It was bread from heaven. God fed them with this manna. Now, in doing so, God gave some specific instructions for them about gathering this manna. So let's take a look at a couple of things that He says here, okay? Exodus chapter 16 and verse 16, first of all, He says this, "Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." An omer is a weight of measure. Okay? So take an omer for each person in your tent. That's how much they were to gather. Now, if you go on to verse 19, He says this, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." So gather as much as you need for the day, and don't keep any of it overnight. We go to verse 20. However, God said this, however, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell, so Moses was angry with them. Now, think for just a moment. Why do you suppose God told them, don't keep any until morning? I'd suggest to you it's because He wanted them to learn to trust Him, that He was going to give them their daily, help me out, bread. Didn't that sound very familiar to the prayer that Jesus called His disciples? Give us this day our daily bread. It's all about trust. It's not about bread, folks. It's about trust. And some of these folks didn't trust God enough. So they said, well, maybe God won't give us any more tomorrow, so we better save some extra that we have today for tomorrow. And God said, no, ain't going to happen. Whatever they tried to keep because they had a lack of trust in God, it's spoiled. Say, it's spoiled. And that's what happens when you take the blessings that God gives you and you don't use them the way He intended for them to be used. They spoil. Say, if we keep the blessings that God gives to us to ourselves, then those blessings will be spoiled. Why? Because they are not intended to be kept to ourselves. The blessings that you receive from God are intended to be shared, and to bless other people's lives. And when we fail to do that, then it's just like those Israelites in the wilderness, that we don't trust God, and therefore those blessings, just like the manna, will be spoiled. They won't be good for much of anything at all. Neil Maxwell said this: we should certainly count our blessings, but we should also make our blessings count. And the way that we do that is by sharing those blessings that we have with other people. Make those blessings count. Don't allow the blessings that God gives to you to spoil and to go back by keeping them to yourself. We've been talking all along throughout this series of studies about our Jerusalem as we identify that. Jesus said to his disciples just before he ascended back into heaven, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And that's what he has called upon us to do, is to be his witnesses, to tell those in our Jerusalem about him. And I have issued what I refer to as the My Jerusalem Challenge. Okay? And just a reminder to you about this. That challenge basically is this: find one person in your Jerusalem to focus on. One person. And share the gospel and your life, that is, the blessings that God has given you, share them with that one person. Okay? You see, basically, what we're talking about here is that we have been sent. We have been sent on God's mission. But God doesn't just send us out and say, go out and do this. God blesses our lives in some awesome, amazing ways. And what he does is then he says, now take those blessings and share them with others. That's how he sends us out to do it. So I want you to be thinking about this whole idea of gratitude leads to mission. How grateful, first of all, are you for the blessings that God has given you in your life? Let that sink in a little bit. Think about that. How truly grateful are you? And secondly, then, okay, what can you do with those blessings to pay them forward, that is, to share them with other people in your life? Because that's the reason that God gave you those blessings to begin with. Do you recognize that? It may be that maybe you just don't know how at this point. Maybe there's something that's going on that maybe you need some guidance or some help to know the best way to share those blessings. We want to do that. We want to help you to do that. Because we're all in this together. The same mission for all of us. Right? But then again, it may be that maybe you haven't really truly been grateful from the heart for the blessings that God has given you. If that's where you are this morning, then I really urge you to take a good heart check. Alright? Take a good heart check. So you can really see what God has blessed you with. Allow that gratitude to sink in so that you will be willing and able to share those blessings with everyone in your Jerusalem that you have opportunity to. Maybe somebody here this morning who has not yet received the blessing of salvation through Christ Jesus. But you need to understand that if you haven't received it, it's simply because you haven't asked for it. Because God freely wants to give that blessing to you. But if you haven't asked for it, you haven't received it yet, in other words, you're still lost in your sins. You can change that right now, this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Confess Him as Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God as He's calling you into relationship with Him, and allow Him to bless your life by forgiving you of your sins and reconciling you to Himself. You can do that right now, this morning. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone. If you'd like to have a private prayer conversation with him back there, and I'll be up front here to receive anyone that would like to come here. The invitation of the Lord is open to you. Let's stand.